My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, just as we have octaves in the church's liturgical calendar, which allow us to contemplate the mystery of great feasts from different angles over several days, so we too also have novenas, which lead up to feast days rather than follow them. And so they help us to prepare to receive the content of the mystery of those feasts, or to obtain other graces which we petition God to give us. Now, this is what the apostles had for the first time between the Feast of the Ascension and Pentecost. Now, it's customary for us to pray for an increase in the gifts of the Holy Spirit during this novena. And that's easy for us to do, right? I mean, we have the gift of retrospect. We've been doing this for an awful long time. But the apostles did not. Remember, this is the first time there has been 9 days between the Ascension and Pentecost. And they were locked in the upper room. And they were wondering what was going to happen next. Mysterious things had happened. Now, sometimes I like to project myself back to the first century and try to understand the mysteries we celebrate today in light of what they would have known and in light of their experience then. So sometimes we project ourselves back into the upper room with the apostles. This is the room where they were with the Lord for the Last Supper at the beginning of his passion. Now it's after ascension, and they don't know exactly what it is that's going to happen. But the Lord has told them very mysterious things. He's told them that if he doesn't go, the Comforter can't come. If he doesn't go, you know, that after he goes, he's going to send to them the Spirit of Truth. And they must, and that they are going to be clothed in power. And then he disappears from their sight, and he's taken into the heaven in the cloud. And whenever you see a cloud in Scripture, it's an important thing, because the cloud is the sign of the divine presence. You might remember that in the tent of meeting out in the wilderness, back when the people were wandering for 40 years, the cloud would descend on the tent of meeting, and Moses would go in, and when he would come back out, his face was so bright they couldn't look at it. They had to put a veil over his face. And 50 days rather after the people fled Egypt, they arrived at the mountain of Sinai, and 3 days later the great cloud descended on the mountain and Moses was given the law. So the cloud is important, and also coincidentally today 50 is important, because we're coming up to the 50th day after Easter, and that is the Feast of Pentecost. And for the Jews, they would have understood that this is a great feast, as they were commanded by God to celebrate the feast 50 days after the Passover and after the Feast of First Fruits. So the apostles, being in the upper room, are contemplating all these things that the Lord has said and done about his disappearance, you know, his ascension, what was going to happen after the sending of this mysterious spirit. But at the same time, after ascension, what are they getting ready for? They're getting ready for the Feast of Shavuot, which is an important spring harvest festival for them. Now, all Jewish feasts, just like all of our Christian and Catholic feasts, have a twofold dimension. They look simultaneously backward to memorialize something that happened, but they also look forward to something that is yet to be fulfilled. So for the Jews, the Feast of Shavuot, or Pentecost as it was called in Greek, just like we call it today, commemorated the arrival of the 12 tribes at Mount Sinai when they received the law. And so the apostles, knowing this, that Pentecost is coming right after the Lord ascended, they must be thinking, Something big is going to happen on Sunday, next Sunday, for us next Sunday, for them next Sunday too. And what is it that happened? On the mountain, there descended the cloud of glory, but not just the cloud of glory, it was a cloud of fire. And the mountain was wreathed in smoke and fire, and it shook. Now the apostles in the upper room must be thinking, he said we were going to be clothed in power. The Spirit of truth is coming. What is this going to mean for us? Now we can take a lesson from this and ask truly, what do these feasts mean for us now? Do we take these things seriously? Is it just another Sunday to go to church? And you see the color of the vestments change? What does it mean for us when Jesus tells them during the Last Supper, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit? The same Spirit that the Lord, before ascension, told them he was going to send to them. Imagine the intensity of the prayer of the apostles in that time and their discussions. Even as they were afraid to go out because they were under lockdown because of coronavirus, right? No, they weren't exactly under lockdown because of coronavirus, but they were under lockdown, a self-imposed lockdown. They were afraid to go out, as so many people today are afraid to go out. You know, I find it amazing, in a sense, that the whole church is, in a sense, under lockdown in fear, like the apostles were between Ascension and Pentecost. And as some churches struggle to open in many places, civil authorities are trying to keep them shut with more restrictions. And like little gerbils, bishops are trembling and going along with it. I had a text from someone in my hometown last night who said that in one of the suburbs, the mayor has threatened to arrest Catholics if they go to Mass. And I hope they do. I want to see the video of people being dragged out of a church and the priest being dragged out in Mass vestments. I hope they do. We need to get some iron back into our blood. And the Holy Spirit is precisely the one who will give this to us if we ask for it. You think about all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are a couple of there that pertain to us in these times, and you should be praying for these intensely. So the apostles were told that the Holy Spirit was coming. They knew that Shavuot was near. They knew about the descent of the glory cloud, and that's what Shavuot was about to celebrate. And then that Holy Spirit came and made them burst out of doors and preach and baptize. The same Holy Spirit that was lavished upon us in our baptism. You know, we should take to heart the words of Peter today. Just take a look at that again. What did it say at the very beginning of that reading? Do you remember? The end of all things is at hand. The end of all things. Not the end of a few things or a bunch of things. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, keep sane and sober for your prayers. The words sane and sober here, if you look, go back and take a look at the Greek, they have a content of being measured and in self-control and on an even keel and watchful and constant. So pray constantly and in a disciplined way, because the end of all things is at hand. It's going to be either the end of the world, or not just the end of the world as we know it, and then a new and perhaps better normal, but we do not know the day or the hour either of our own death, when our world will end, in a sense, and a new world will begin for us. Now, if the end of all things is at hand, and we take that and we turn the sock inside out, that can also mean that the beginning of new things is at hand. And certainly that was the case with the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was certainly the case for every single one of us at our baptism. It was the end of one life and the beginning of another. When you were confirmed, if you've been confirmed, it was the end of one way of living and a new way of living. With the reception of Holy Communion and First Penance for the first time, it was a new way of living that was, an old way of living and a new way of living beginning. So we now have this mysterious time between Ascension and Pentecost to take stock of our lives, to think about the sort of actions that we have to undertake in order to be pleasing for God and to be good temples of the Holy Spirit. Peter goes on in his letter and he says, how do we do this? Well, you hold unfailing love for one another. Since love covers a multitude of sins, practice hospitality ungrudgingly to one another. Use your gifts for each other. Use them as God intended you to use them. These are ways to prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit and to be ready for the beginning of the good things to come that are at the end of all things. So, I found a beautiful passage in looking around about the Ascension. A dear old friend of mine who is actually an Anglican priest, who went to the Creator some years ago. He was a very fine preacher, and I found an old sermon of his by total surprise. And he quoted an 18th century Anglican divine by the name of Dr. Edward Pusey, who was famous because he was one of the great promoters of the Oxford movement that John Henry Newman had been involved in and so forth. Now he said in an Ascension sermon, and I can't really do better than conclude with this because it is simply so beautiful. Pusey preached, "Let not the tinsel of this world dazzle the eyes, which were formed to see the King in his beauty. Let not the praise of men dull the ears, which were formed to hear the blissful words, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.' Let not the cares, riches, pleasures of this world choke the heart, which was formed to contain the love of God. Pray, and all is thine. Thine is God himself, who teaches thee to pray for himself. To pray is to go forth from earth and to live in heaven. Learn to commend thy daily acts to God, so that the dry everyday duties of common life be steps to heaven, and lift thy heart thither. Commend thyself to God in moments of leisure, so that thy rest be rest in God, and conduct thee to thine everlasting rest. He, thy head, is above. Shall the heart be any more below?" So in all you do, remember the life of heaven awaits you. Don't be mired in the world. Seek to transform your daily tasks into opportunities also for prayer, especially in this time leading up to Pentecost. Be watchful, constant, and I will pray for you for a good and holy continuation of your Pentecost preparations. And I beg a prayer for myself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.